Well, good morning. How you doing this morning? It's warm in here, amen? Well, we're glad to see you. This morning, my dad is ministering elsewhere, so you're stuck with me. But I'm so thankful for all of you that trudged out through the snow and the ice and so on and so forth. I want to comment on something that I had seen on Facebook. And I thought it was so relevant. Before I get into what I believe the Lord has to share, good morning, Brian. I see you back there. He's one of my guys that helps at basketball. Wave, Brian. Come on, give Brian a hand. But I wanted to share with you, Mo Schoen, am I saying your last name right? He posted something about friendship and camaraderie and being in church. And I thought it so... I found it striking. He spoke on being in church and being connected. And I thought to myself, I've been blessed to be around church my entire life and many, many friends and relationships and friends that, you know, that aren't here but that stretch wide and deep. And I thought to myself, I think I had a conversation yesterday with a young lady, and she said it took me many, many years to connect. And she said, some of it was me. I recognize now that, you know, I should have worked at it a little harder. But it brought me between Mo's post and her conversation with me yesterday to this card right here. This card is a representation of everything that happens here during the week. Let me ask you this question. How many of you need could use more friends? Just raise your hand. Yeah, some of you didn't raise your hand, and I understand that. You can only... sometimes when you have a lot of people in your life, you can only handle so many people. So I get that. But if you need more friendships, if you're looking to connect deeper, and I see some whispering back and forth, this card gives you every service that's available. The Women's Bible Study on Monday night, Tuesday night, Activity Night, Wednesday night Bible Study, Thursday night church service. There's Friday night young adults. There's Friday night Unite. Saturday we go out on Adopt a Block. Sunday we have service. So if you feel alone, I'm here to tell you this morning, you don't have to be alone. Are these cards in the back? Can somebody tell me that? Yes, they are. Okay, thank you. Okay, these cards are in the back. On one side, Nicole has provided these cards to us. One side, service times and so on, and the other side, salvations. Amen? So that's good stuff. Today I'll be sharing on a topic that I've had some years to observe, and it's kind of pushed me to study the topic. I've never spoke on it publicly, maybe shared a little bit, but I'm excited to share about how we experience Jesus in our worship. And I just mentioned briefly my time in the church. I can't believe, and I told my wife this morning, and last night, I can't believe that I've been leading worship in this church for 20 years. I know I don't look 20, do I? Chris said to me this morning, I like that shirt. I hope that it shrinks so you'll give it to me. I said, bro, them shirts that I gave you didn't shrink. But, yeah, you got it now. It took you a second. But 20 years of leading worship, 20 years of hanging around this church and running up and down through the pews and being a young man in the church. I'm so blessed by that. I'm so blessed to be able to lead the people of God into worship week in and week out. But this series, immediately after Easter, in my opinion, is very appropriate because we all need help processing the engagement of our Savior. Amen? I'm going to start out by saying this. We're all different, right? Different backgrounds, different cultures, different, totally different backgrounds. I think of you know, my mom's background. She mentioned it a little bit this morning. At the CMA church, you know, growing up, the very small church, pastor came to the house, sort of thing. My background in church, we lived in Seattle, Washington for some time, and the culture there, let me just tell you, is totally different than here, like just worlds apart. And you have a different background than I have. I thought of my wife this morning. She's next door with the kids, but my wife was a little Catholic girl when I met her. She was going to Catholic church, and she loved the Lord, and she was committed to Jesus Christ as her personal Lord and Savior. And we got married, and she would say to me, "I want to go to service on Saturday night." How many of you knew this? Anybody? Not many of you. She'd say to me, "I want to go to Catholic service," because that's all she knew. That was the culture that she was brought up in. So we'd go to service on Saturday night, and then we'd do our thing here on Sunday morning, because I felt it important to respect her background. I felt it important that even though that she viewed something a little bit different than I did, that it was important for me to respect that. Can I get one amen from the married people? And so we come in here very different. Some of you, there's people in this room, I think of a few. Some of you grew up in Bones Restaurant, if you know what I'm saying. Very, very, very different cultures, very different views. And that's what happens in a church of this size. And it continues to be wider. The perspectives continue to be much different. I think of generations, my generation, the Gen Ys, the Gen Xs, the baby boomers, the all different views, all different, you know, growing up, you might be used to a cell phone, but I guarantee if I walk back to George, he's probably not as impressed with an iPad as you are. And my dad and I said this morning that my dad is a baby boomer and my generation is different. And so we have this, my mom's laughing, because we have this friction at times because we view things different. Doesn't make the way he looks at things bad. Doesn't make the way I look at things bad. It's just a difference. And my mom gets to be the mediator between our wrestling matches, and that's why she's laughing. But different backgrounds, very different perspectives at times, amen? But we are all in one place this morning, but we are all so different. And I'd like to say that in the pursuit of one God, that worship joins us because we are looking to engage one God. We all bump into each other. One person likes this song, another person likes this song. Since there's only one God and we have to meet him, we have to go to him together. Amen? And so I have to go with you some, and in that same way, you have to go with me some. Since we have a shared love and a shared need to engage our God, we have to connect together while connecting to him. So it is because of our shared love and shared need that we must go together. Our worship, our music, our style may not be the same, but it's not about us. It's about us together. I do things that I don't want to do in worship. Let me just say this to you. Every song that I sing, I don't care for. People ask me to sing songs, and I better get a couple amens in the back there. People ask me to sing songs. I don't care for them. I don't even really care to sing. And I'm the guy singing them, right? You're not. I'm singing them up here. I'm singing the songs up here. But I do it in the interest of all of us. Because if it's always my way and my perspective, and I'm challenging you, maybe even in your own homes, with your own family, if it's always my way, there's going to be some headbutting going on, if you know what I'm saying. Amen? So in the interest of everyone, we have to go to God together. Amen? So I want to read this to you, and I'm going to pray in a second here. But speaking to one another in psalms and in hymns and in spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord. Do you have that, Pauly? Giving thanks always for the things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. Doesn't that sound like us? That we're submitting to God or to one another in the fear of God. Now, I want you to elbow the person next to you and I want you to tell them, this is not about marriage. This message, come on, I want you to do it. Come on, Art, I'm watching you. Bumper, say, this is not about marriage. This message is not about marriage. So don't get caught up on what I'm about to read here. Wives, submit to your husbands as unto the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be subject to their husband in everything. This is not about marriage, but stay with me. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot nor wrinkle or any such thing, but she is holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourished and cherished it, just as the Lord does to the church. For we are all members of his body, of one of his flesh and of his bones. For this reason a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall be joined with his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This catch these words. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning the church. This is a great mystery. Say it. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning the church. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we love you this morning. We are joined together in unity. And Father, we say, have your way in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to blast through this. So please keep your minds with me just for a few minutes. Five times in the book of Ephesians alone, Paul uses this term mystery. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning the church. Mystery means something concealed or hidden. And now we have come to the point in Scripture and an unveiling for us to know what he's pointing out. It was hidden from plain view. We really didn't understand the dynamics of it, but it had already happened. The text we just read sounds somewhat confusing and schizophrenic, if I may use that term. Is he talking about spiritual songs and hymns and worship, or is he speaking about marriage? Is he laying groundwork for marriage, or is he teaching us theology? The text is written in such a way that it almost makes you think that he had all these thoughts. You ever have a lot of thoughts and you just jot them down on a piece of paper? But he finishes with it and he says, this is a mystery. So my brain says this, how do I find the unveiling of this mystery? So here's what we have to do. We have to go back. We're going to go back to Genesis and we're going to read about marriage. We're going to read about the first marriage. Some of our marriages wouldn't qualify to read about, but we're going to go back to the first marriage, amen? So he says in Genesis chapter 2, you have it up there, Paul? And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, and he made a woman, and he brought her to the man. Are you with me? And Adam said, this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman because he has been taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Doesn't that sound similar to what we just read in Ephesians? Doesn't it sound like the same thing? We just read this. And I want to show you the connection between the two. Couple things here. Adam was made in the image and in the likeness of God. He was also given dominion and power to rule as he walked around in a position of authority. He named animals, but in the end found no helpmate that was suitable. And it's the first time that God says that something isn't good. Remember in Genesis, he says, in the morning of the evening of the night, I created this. And then I created the seed, and then I created the tree, and he said, it was good, it was good, it was good. He gets to this point in Scripture, and he says something that should catch you. When you find a pattern, and then all of a sudden the pattern that God created kind of stops, and he said, this I don't like. He said, it is not good for men to be alone. Now if you get caught up, if you're single, and you get caught up in this, you're gonna, it's gonna mess you up until the end. But I want you to just stay with me a second. It says it is not good for men to be alone, or it is not good for men to be all one. Alone, all one. Fish were mating, birds were mating, tiger was multiplying. I went and saw the tiger, but I couldn't experience the tiger. There was no mating. There was no relationship. There was no fruit. There was no reproduction, because fruit only happens if someone is of the same kind. Adam couldn't find his same kind, so he couldn't produce his kin. So the Bible says God took Adam and he put him to sleep in a deep sleep, like some of you are right now. And while he was sleeping, the Bible says that God took the rib and he formed a woman. God pulled Adam from Adam, and then the Bible says that God brought her back to Adam. So she who was brought from him now is brought to him. Say that with me. She who came from him is now brought to him. Now Adam says in verse 23, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken from man, and she will become his wife. The body living apart from himself, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. So you're with me. God took a bone and he created a woman. You're with me on this. Okay. So now we've talked about the first Adam, but now I'd like to talk about the last man, Adam. You and I are one or the other. You cannot be both. If you have not accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, unfortunately, you are a part of the first man, Adam. You are not born again into our family. It is because you are connected to an experience with the last man, Adam. There are only two. All of us, everyone in this room, are in one category or another. There was a man born of the first man, Adam, named Nicodemus. If you remember the story, he came to Jesus by night and he said, I want to be a part of your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, you're not my kid because you are still a part of the first man, Adam. You must be born again. So this last man, Adam, I believe your mind has started to catch that he is Jesus. The first man, Adam, is God's created son. The last man, Adam, is God's only begotten son. I'm assuming your mind has run ahead of me and just thought just as the first man, Adam, got his bride by going into a deep sleep, that the last man, Adam, had to go into his deep sleep to get his bride. So the last man, Adam, went into his sleep so he could meet his bride. In fact, he said, Father, if it be thy will, let this bitter cup pass from me. And he said, you have to go into this deep sleep to meet your bride. So they hung him high on the cross. They stretched him wide. And this is so relevant to the season after Easter, for us to make this connections in our heart and in our spirit. He said you were chosen in him before the foundations of the world. So to us who were chosen in him by salvation, we're brought back to him through the cross so that we could reconnect to him by salvation. Can you say amen? If I said nothing else, this should be enough. That's why I thank the Roman soldier for performing the service. While Christ was asleep, they pierced him in the side, and blood began to flow. And the Bible says that the New Testament, or the New Covenant, was in his blood. when we realize that the blood and the water flowing out of Jesus is you and I flowing out of Jesus, the church, the New Testament coming out of his side. Drink this cup, boys. This is my blood. This is my bride. This is my body. Thank you, Roman soldier, for piercing him in the side. For in doing so, you open up the side, even as the Father opened up the side of the first mad Adam and brought the bride out. When you pierced Jesus in his side, you pierced him so that the church, you and I, who is the body and the bride of Christ, could come forth. And now the church stands as the body and the bride of Christ. See, the bride of Christ is the body living separate from the groom. Can you say amen? Many members, one body. She is the wife. That's us. So get this. When Paul starts talking in Ephesians, where we started in Scripture, he is talking about the bride of Christ, who is the body of Christ, using a metaphor of marriage because it is the best description of a relationship that we should have with Christ. We must understand who we are. I want to connect this now, but I don't want to connect it without you understanding that you are the body of Christ. You are the bride of Christ. That's why Jesus came and laid down his life and was beaten and scorned for you and I to become his bride. Say, I am the bride. Now we read to connect this over the next 5 minutes. We read in the Song of Solomon, Chapter 2, verses 8 through 13, and I'm going to read this to you. It's beautiful. The voice of my beloved, behold, he comes leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a gazelle or a young stag. Behold, he stands behind our wall. He is looking through the window, gazing through the lattice. My beloved spoke and said to me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away with me. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone, the flowers appear on earth, the time of singing has come, and the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. He says, rise up, my love, my farewell one, and come away with me. And you, if you read this out of context, you'll just say, Ryan, what does that have to do with the bride of Christ? What does that have to do with woman? This is the connection. Jesus is calling us to rise up, to come to me. The scripture says he hides behind the lattice, speaking to us in song. Saying to us, come forth, rise up, my fair one, come and be with me. This is what happens when we walk in here and we begin to worship. Many times the voice of the Lord is speaking to you and I, and he is saying, rise up in intimacy with me. He is the seeking Savior through the peering through the lattice, saying, come and worship with me. Come be with me. Rise up. Know me better. You must rise up. I've come as close as I can come, he says. You must come the rest of the way. He pursues us. He looks. He says, come away with me. That call left me in tears. That call left me with my hands lifted in surrender. These are the signs of those who are rising up, leaving the natural boundaries and entering in to the secret holy of holies. Rise up. You will never rise up without coming into worship. That is why the enemy hates you even walking into this place. There are people being attacked as I am speaking. If you can come and hear the word and the worship, you can come and rise up. You can engage the Holy of Holies. Let me just say this to you. Do you think I've led worship for 20 years of my life because you pay well? That's supposed to be funny. Or because I'm an emotional person? This is not about my father being the pastor or me being an order taker. I am here by my own free will. I come to my father and I rise up and worship to him. And my job is to welcome you to come with me. This is about a call that God has given to his people saying, get up. Rise up, my beloved, and come away with me. I want it so bad, Lord. I'll be inconvenienced. I want it so bad, I'll show up early. I want it so bad that I'll do it as a sacrifice of praise. I want it so bad, I'll look stupid. I want it so bad, I'll move on from people. I want it so bad that I'll engage you even when I don't feel like it. I want God's glory. I want this mystery that God speaks of. Jesus has another encounter, and I'm closing with this. In John chapter 4, he says, give me a drink, and the woman speaks back to him and says, you don't want any water. Remember the story he told the disciples. I go on to Samaria. He sat by the well. He was a well sitting on top of a well. He says, for if you drink of your water, you will thirst again. But if you drink of my water, you'll never thirst again. Some of us need to hear this. In other words, I know that your water is good. I know that you look good. I know you're talented. I know you smell good. I know you're beautiful. But if you drink of my water, I'll quench the thirst of your soul. He says, I have what you need. Then Jesus says something every Christian should know. He says, God is a spirit, and those who worship him must do so in spirit and truth. Wait a second. Are we talking about water, or are we talking about worship? And here's what I've traveled all this way to tell you. We are the bride of Christ. He seeks us in intimacy in our worship. And when he says, if you drink of my water, you'll never thirst again, I'm here to tell you this morning that his water, don't ever forget this, the water of your soul will only be quenched in worship. When you look at people and their hands are lifted high and they're lifting their voices and you say, how come I don't feel that way? Ryan, when you say lift your hands, I think to myself, I look like a fool. I don't even know why I do this. You lift your hands in surrender. You lift your hands in worship. You express yourself unto God because he peers through the lattice. He stands at the gate and he says, come, be with me. Come engage me in worship. And he says this, and I'll never forget this until the day I die. His water is worship. The water of your soul. The water that only quenches your soul. It's his worship. Once you've received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and I pray that everyone in this room has, the only way to further your intimacy with God the Father, Jesus Christ, is worship. You must rise up. You must engage him. You must step in to the Holy of Holies and engage our Father in worship. God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The only way you'll experience Jesus in worship. Is that my title, Nicole? The only way you'll ever experience Jesus, the way your heart yearns or thirsts, is to worship him. His water, his gift, his intimacy is our worship to God the Father. Would you close your eyes? As the deer panted forth the waters, oh my soul longeth after thee. Would you stand with me this morning? Oh, you alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. Lift your voice and say, you alone. Oh, you alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit. You alone.
desire and I long to worship you.
Father, I pray in this place that the Spirit of the living God will begin to rise up in this place because of our worship. As we begin to engage you, as we begin to lift our hands, as we begin to, Father, engage you, as your word says. Your word says, rise up. As this house, as this your people begin to rise up in worship to you, in intimacy with you. Father, we ask that your water would flow in this house. The worship of your saints, Father, would be heard all over this city. God, everything that you do, everything that happens, let it bring glory and honor to your name. Let this house be known as a house of worship. We thank you for your people. Thank you, Lord, so much for your people coming to hear your word and to engage you in intimacy and worship. I thank you for them. In the mighty name of Jesus, would you say amen? Amen. Well, we love you. My dad sends his love to you. So glad you're here this morning. God bless you. Amen.
So long if after thee.